This is the Podcast About Sports Radio, episode 12.
I came on the air. I'd gone to a gas station before the show at like 9:30 in the morning. There was like a gorgeous woman in a gas station, and she got one of those hot dogs on the rack. And she like put mustard and relish on it and started eating it. And I couldn't decide what I thought about it. I'm like, she's gorgeous. It's 9:30 in the morning, though. Why are you eating a gas station hot dog? And I talked about that with you, and you and I went back and forth on it. And honestly, that was all anybody talked about that day.
Right.
Like, it became the show.
From the most recognizable and informative voices in the industry, this is the Podcast About Sports Radio on AboutSportsRadio.com. Here's your host of the Podcast About Sports Radio, Zach McWright.
And welcome in again to the Podcast About Sports Radio. The Podcast About Sports Radio is not a podcast about sports itself. Those are, these days, a dime a dozen. This is all about the sports radio industry. Tips, advice, and strategies from the top voices in the industry. Thanks for being here. If you don't know anything about me, Zach McWright, you can visit at aboutsportsradio.com/about. That's aboutsportsradio.com/about to learn more about me and my goal with this podcast. Our guest this week is Matt Jones, syndicated regional radio star. No, I say it like that because he's a friend. This one is a lot of fun. We'll get to him in just a second. But first, I wanted to tell you once again about my good friends at Audible.com. I know you love audio, so I teamed up with Audible. And if you haven't already, you can grab an awesome audiobook from their enormous library of over 180,000 titles. You can get one for yourself for free if you go through my address at aboutsportsradio.com/audible. That's aboutsportsradio.com/audible. My guest this week is Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio. He is a syndicated sports radio host, obviously based out of Kentucky, Louisville, to be exact. And he has created an enormous following, which we will get into. It is a following of a lot of blue bloods, if you will, pardon the expression, but a lot of crazy Kentucky basketball fans. And obviously you need a huge fan base to have a huge following. That helps Matt, but Matt also goes above and beyond and does a lot of things that really, really get his audience to be one with him. I mean, to always be there every step of the way with him as if they're part of the show every single day. And so we get into a lot of that. It's a same sort of blueprint that you could probably do. You got to have some things fall into place for you. Matt gets into those as well. Being vulnerable on air, we talk a lot about that. Something that sports radio does the worst, we talk a lot about that as well. And he also has an interesting hot dog story that I think you're going to enjoy. So follow along with the show on our notes page at aboutsportsradio.com/Matt Jones. We have all the notes and all of the links to stuff we covered here all right there, including bonus audio. There's more bonus audio from Matt that is not included in this podcast. So check out the bonus audio and the show notes at aboutsportsradio.com/Matt Jones. All right, I hope you enjoy it. Here is our podcast, our conversation with Kentucky Sports Radio and KentuckySportsRadio.com's Matt Jones. All right, and thanks again for doing this. Very grateful. And I kind of started this off. I didn't mean for it to be this way, but every single person that I've had on this podcast so far, I've just kind of started with the question, how did you get the bug? Like, what happened? Why did you want to be in radio? Where did it all begin?
That's a good question. I guess when I was in college, there was a college station at Trancy, and you could only hear it. Trancy, where I went to college, you could only hear it like in the 3-block radius of the school. But while I was there, I did a couple little shows, not really even about sports, just goofing off with my friends, and I really enjoyed it. You know, there was, we kind of got burned out on it quick, but we enjoyed doing it, and I always kind of had that in the back of my mind. And then about the time that people started podcasting, you know, I did one or two of those, and I thought, you know what, this is awesome. I'm really enjoying it, and it felt like a good medium for sort of my style, which I think is more conversational, which I think is harder to do on TV and even harder in print. So it just seemed like the right thing, and that got me – going, and then once you get going, you start getting feedback, people calling, then you just want to keep doing it. And I kind of realized maybe I had a little bit of a knack for it.
Well, and your career path is one. I mean, obviously, you know, where you're at now is so great, and I'm just curious, though, that there's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this. When I first started this podcast, I wasn't quite sure who the person I was reaching was. I kind of thought it was going to be a guy who was already in radio, who just wanted to talk some inside baseball and just wanted to hear a little bit about behind the scenes. And I guess it is. But the more and more I do this podcast, the more I get listeners, I get feedback from them saying, hey, man, I'm trying to break through. And it's kind of odd because your breakthrough story really is separate from many breakthrough stories like mine, where I just, you know, I knew I wanted to be in radio, so I'm just going to start by interning somewhere and sweeping floors somewhere, and I'll find a way up. Yours was basically podcasting and then moving right on to radio, right?
Yeah, I sort of rode the podcast wave early.
Yeah, what year was that?
This is probably like 06, 07. I mean, it was early in the game. I mean, I started my website in 05. So I know actually 05 because it would have been when I started my website. And I just sort of, you know, I'd heard about podcasting and I thought this is a good way for me to just kind of do my thing. And back then there weren't hardly any. And so it made it a lot easier than it would be now because you're not really competing with as much stuff. So I would just go to all the University of Kentucky websites and say, hey, everybody, here is audio of me and others talking about UK. And there really weren't any other people doing it. So even if it stunk, it didn't matter because, you know, there wasn't any competition. And so I was a lawyer at the time and kind of did it once a week. And we just slowly build up the audience. I mean, the first time I did it, I probably had 25 people listen, and then you get up to 50 and so on. And after a while, if you're good at it, it can kind of grow exponentially because people tell other people about it. And now with social media and all that, in one way, it's a lot easier to grow it. In one way, it's a lot harder. I mean, I think it's a lot easier for something cool to get out there, but it's a lot harder to get noticed because there's just so much noise out there. Yeah. How do you get noticed? So I think it's a double-edged sword. But I didn't, you know, the notion of doing what I'm doing now, which is hosting a daily radio show around the state, honestly, that didn't occur to me for a while. I just did it because I thought it was fun. And then, you know, you gave me an opportunity early to do, a night, like, I think maybe once or twice a week at night.
Oh, what a crappy signal, though. Oh, I even felt bad putting you on.
It was a terrible signal. But you know what was funny about that terrible signal? I think all that stuff was a blessing because it helped you learn without pressure, right? So, like, there was no pressure to get listeners back then because the signal was so bad. So long as anyone was listening, that was cool. That was an advantage. And the same thing happened when I got my first daily show. You know, I got my first daily show with you there with me where it was on a station that no one thought could succeed and got no ratings whatsoever. And a lot of people would say, well, that sucks. But it actually ended up being an advantage because it helps you learn your craft. And then, whereas if you step into a big thing and you're not ready, you can really screw
good
up
luck.
And then you don't get another chance.
Right.
Yeah.
Give me the moment along the way, and maybe there's been a couple of these. Like, I actually, let's do it in two. When your podcast started to move up, let's do like the 05, 06, 07 era, and then let's do radio and ask the same question in two different time frames. When your podcast, when you went, wow, okay, we've got something here. I want the answer to that when in your podcast, when do you remember that I think we've got something here moment? And then with your radio show, the I think we've really got something here moment.
You know, the podcast, I even remember what it was. There was a Christmas recruiting, like a Christmas high school basketball tournament that they would always play in Lexington. That years ago was a huge deal. It's not as big a deal now, but it used to be a huge deal. And I went to it once, and somebody stopped me and said, hey, you're the guy I listened to on that podcast. And it was the first time that I had gotten some feedback in real life about it. You know, I had gotten an occasional email or something, but like a real life human being. And the guy said, hey, I listened to it, and I got all my buddies at work listening to it now too. And that, I remember thinking, okay, I don't know this person. And this person not only listened to it, but thought it was important enough to try to get other people to listen to it. I remember at that point thinking, okay, maybe something can happen.
That's very cool. This.
And then in the radio, I think the radio, it was honestly, and we know ratings are ridiculous because there's a lot, especially in the market with diaries, which is what I still have. They're so random. But I remember when you and I were doing that, the first real ratings book we got, which is probably 4 to 5 months in, and a station that had gotten no ratings all of a sudden got some. I mean, at the time it wasn't huge, but it got some. And I remember the look, honestly, Zach, in other people's eyes in the building.
I do too.
When they saw it.
I do too.
And like them being, you know, what? And that's when I thought, okay. See, this is actually something.
there was some shock. Like, I mean, I can even remember, just to kind of peel back the curtain, I can remember people kind of mumbling, yeah, this is a shot in the dark. It's, you know, a one-time book thing. You know, this has happened before with KJK. That was the station, for those listeners who have no idea what we're talking about, WKJK. Yeah, KJ's hit the number before. They've hit the book before. It always dissipates. And then, like, well, I don't know about this time.
Yeah, no, that wasn't – I think that was almost everybody in the building thought. Because, you know, and look, everybody who's trying to break into the business will get this too. Now, this is changing because it can't help but change due to the market. But people who've done sports radio for a long time, it's not, in my opinion, a very welcoming group. And I don't mean that they're not good people. I think they are. It's just there's not a ton of jobs, right? I mean, there's just not a ton. And so I think people are very protective of their turf. And so even people, like the people we worked with, Zach, I thought they were all very nice, right? And I don't think they wanted me to fail, but I think there was a notion of it's just a very competitive kind of thing, in my view, for people. And so here I was doing something completely different. Like, we didn't do sports radio like everybody else. We'd talk about, like, our lives, and I'd tell stories. You remember the story I told you once about seeing a beautiful woman eating a hot dog at a gas station? And honestly, Zach, that story, for those that you know, didn't know, I came on the air. I'd gone to a gas station before the show at like 9:30 in the morning. There was a gorgeous woman. There was like a gorgeous woman in a gas station, and she got one of those hot dogs on the rack, and she like put mustard and relish on it and started eating it. And I couldn't decide what I thought about it. I'm like, she's gorgeous. It's 9:30 in the morning, though. Why are you eating a gas station hot dog? And I talked about that with you, and you and I went back and forth on it. And honestly, that was all anybody talked about that day.
Right.
Like, it became the show. And I remember, and I think that was so different from what sports radio was in our market that people just thought, well, this can't work. And then, you know, it did. So,
well, how much, while we're on that topic, and we'll get back to kind of the career arc that you've had here, but while we're on that topic, how important is it, just maybe piggybacking, to kind of talk about yourself? How much personality? How much is personality important to an overall show's success?
I think it's absolutely huge, and I think it's the thing that sports radio does the worst. I really do. I mean, I think, look, anybody can sit and argue about whether or not firing Scott Brooks is a good decision, or whether or not, you know, you should, whether or not, you know, Puig is a jerk. I mean, you can do that all day. And some of that you have to do in sports radio. But the thing that makes people want to listen to you is if they know you. And I learned that lesson from Howard Stern and Tony Kornheiser. I listen to Howard Stern, and he's not as good today as he was 10 years ago. But I listen to Howard Stern, and every single person on that show, I feel like I know them. I feel like I know their personality. I feel like I know something about them. So when they talk, I care about what they say. Tony Kornheiser does that with sports. I think that's the key. To me, if you know the person, it's just better. And there's no reason not to integrate, like, your life into what you're talking about. So don't just talk about the game. Talk about yourself watching the game and the emotions you went through, et cetera. I just think that resonates with people. Now, it's hard because you're, like, putting your private life out on display. And so people don't enjoy that. And it's also hard because it will make people hate you. Because anytime you know somebody, you might like them, you might hate them. And so that can be tough. But it makes people give a crap about what you're talking about, which is why I think it's successful.
Tell people a little
I'll just give you an example. Zach, you remember when you were with me, you started losing weight. Right?
Yes.
You started losing a significant amount of weight, and you were drinking that Diet Green Tea, and you were dropping pounds.
By the gallon,
and we would talk. Yeah, we would talk about you dropping pounds, and I think people care about that. I think they cared about the fact that they wanted to know how much weight you were losing, et cetera. I just think that that matters to people a lot more than most hosts realize.
I always equate it to athletes. Like, we have a stronger emotional attachment to athletes in which we like. It's the same way with the people we listen to on radio. I don't even see how there's any difference.
Or hate.
Hate, yes, correct.
I mean, the reason why Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods. Like, I see all these people saying, well, Jordan Spieth be as big a star as Tiger Woods. Maybe, but I doubt it. Why? Because even though Tiger is private, he has there is a personality there. There's a thing around him. And that matters to people more than a bland kid. Now, maybe Jordan Spieth will grow into a kid that does that, but he doesn't yet. I think he's really boring. And I think the same thing's true with radio hosts. Look, if Mike and Mike, and I don't mean to say this to throw shade, but if Mike and Mike went away tomorrow, they could get two more people and the same thing would happen. All right? But if Colin Cowherd went away, some people would really miss him because he has a strong something over them. I just think that's what you want to do. You want to make it to where you're irreplaceable because of your personality.
Okay, so radio began on the current signal that you're on, and now I guess that started, 2010? Would that be right? 2010?
Yeah, 2010, fall of 2010.
Fall of 2010, and then as time went on, in fact, it wasn't even a year. I was still with you, and I wasn't even with you for an entire year, where you started to grab affiliates along the state, and now that has grown into multiple states, et cetera, and I think you're close to like 30 affiliates now. Explain your show, if you can, and you've done a little bit of this already, but explain the show to a stranger.
I think it's a hyper-local show, so it's based on University of Kentucky sports, but it's not just based on the sports. It's based on, if I were a UK fan, or if you're a UK fan, what would you care about, period. So that includes, like, what's going on in the state of Kentucky outside of sports, but it's centered around the UK sports experience. And I do it like that because that's also a way to get women involved. It's a way to get young people involved, old people. It's not just guys who are sports obsessed. My view is a sports station is going to get guys who are sports obsessed anyway because they're sports obsessed. So I try to get other people by sort of making it a UK fan lifestyle show. That's the way I would describe it. And it works on a hyper-local basis. And I think that could happen in most market. Now, whether or not it could happen nationally is something that maybe one of these days we'll find out, or maybe we won't. But I think it really works locally. If I am a, you know, Kansas City Royals / Chiefs fan, what is that life like? And base the show around that.
And the reason I bring that up, and it's really the reason I had you on, is that the following that you've created does not happen everywhere. You can probably count it on two hands, the amount of, you know, very niched local programming that has become it has a super following like this. And I think I bring you on just to show people, because I'm going to have somebody in, you know, Podunk, Texas say, why are you having this guy on? Why are you having this guy from Kentucky on? Because you can do the same thing. Like, what are the ingredients to being able to do something similar to what you have done in Kentucky elsewhere?
I think you got to have a strong, wherever you are has to be a place that has a strong connection to some team, whatever it is. Okay. So, I mean, it was easy in Kentucky because people love Kentucky basketball, but I mean, it could be anywhere else. I think, but the thing is the combination of everything we've talked about in terms of like being vulnerable, showing your personality, et cetera. I think we're funny. I think people take sports way too seriously. A lot of people, like, it's life and death. I mean, you know, it's balls going through baskets, or, you know, touch a guy throwing a football and getting tackled. It's not life and death. And I think if you do it with a sense of humor, and then another thing that I think some shows are really good at, and you got to do this in the social media age, you got to create a sense of community, make the listeners feel like they're a part of whatever happens. So that when you get good ratings, they're proud as if they did something, you know, as if like they were a part of that. When you're able to connect like that, I think that can happen anywhere. Now, it's a double-edged sword, though, Zach, because as you know, my strength is also my weakness. Like, we are really successful in Kentucky, but when I try to look at other gigs regionally or nationally, everybody just goes, well, that's the Kentucky guy. You know, that's the guy who's just, he's Kentucky. And so that actually can make it hard. You're both like really successful, but then you also are a little limiting too. So it kind of goes both ways.
Can you give an example? Are you comfortable giving an example in which you've, the way you've kind of accidentally boxed yourself in has become a hindrance?
Oh, that happens. I mean, okay, so this year, you know, Kentucky was really good. They were 38-1, and so I got asked to do a ton of appearances, like on TV or on radio. And during the tournament, I did like four or five different things on ESPN. And at the end of every one of them, the ESPN producers would say, man, you are great. And I had, you know, JT the Brick, for instance, the radio guy, said to me, Matt, I mean, you're one of the best guests I have on. I wish we could have you on more often. It's just we don't talk Kentucky that much. And I want to be like, well, I mean, I can talk other things. I'm not just a robot who only can say the word John Calipari. You know, I've got opinions on everything. But even though, like, you know, I mean, you've had out ESPN. Does Skip Bayless know something about all the stuff he's talking about? Well, of course not. But there's just this notion that he can talk about anything because he's, quote unquote, a national guy. But when you're hyper local like me, it's like, well, he'll be awesome to talk to if it's Kentucky. But if it's something else, I mean, yeah, well, he doesn't know anything about
that. How do you break through?
Well, nobody. I don't know. It's hard. I mean, that's really, honestly, you know, I recently hired an agent who's helped a little bit on that regard. I'm trying to do some regional stuff, like with the SEC Network and with Paul Feinbaum going on there and trying to make it to where I'm not just talking Kentucky. But it's really hard. It's the same mentality that, like, if somebody's an actor and they want to have an opinion about something that's not acting, everybody says, shut up, Matt, you know, because people don't want to, you know, they want. So in some ways, if you want to be national, it's almost easier to be like, go through the national ranks and not do local stuff. But don't get me wrong, a life doing local stuff can still be awesome, and I love it. And if I never do anything else, I'll still be happy.
How has your show evolved over the course from 2010 to now? What are the main ways in which you think your show has evolved?
That's a good question. I would say, I think when I first started, I felt like you had to sort of do the traditional notion of sports, you know, talk about, I used to talk more about national stuff, and now I've kind of given all that up unless it's really interesting. I think when I did the back to the hot dog thing, it sounds random, but that hot dog thing actually made me realize, you know what, this is the thing that resonates with people. So I started doing a lot more personal stuff than I did then. You know, just what you're doing here, like the success of what you're doing here is in large part something I'll do on the show because, like, for instance, when I went to the SEC Network, spent some time with Feinbaum, talked with him about doing some stuff next year, most people would keep that to themselves, right? Mm-hmm. I talked about it on my show because people want to know, like, what's he like? What's it like to go in the ESPN building? Because, no, you know, most people don't ever get to do that, right? So that kind of thing, I think I do a lot more of now.
What is your biggest shortcoming in this business?
I've been, you know, again, I don't have to tell you this, but I've been, at times in my life, I've been difficult to work with. I mean, I think, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so that sort of drive for perfection and real drive to succeed has caused me at times to be not pleasant to be around. And I regret a lot of that. I mean, especially early in my career, honestly, when you and I did that year, and I was also doing television at the time, I mean, I was just not fun to be around. And I think I've gotten better with that. I hope I have, but I'm still not where I'd like to be. You know, when you want everything to be perfect and it's not, you're not necessarily always the easiest guy. And that's by far been my biggest problem. And it's caused difficulties in my career. I mean, I've lost jobs because I was tough to work with. And I think I'm over that, but there's no doubt that that has had an effect.
What is your biggest pet peeve or pet peeves about other sports radio hosts?
Oh. First of all, I don't listen to much sports radio because, and this sounds really weird, and it may even sound like I'm being elitist, and I'm not. I just don't like it in general. which is a weird thing for radio host.
It's funny, but you know what? I don't want to say it either because I know it sounds elitist, but I've noticed myself listening to less, but part of that could be, I will grant everyone, part of that could be, I just got more on my plate now. I mean, that could totally be it.
That's true. And there's also some, like, you know, I'll give you an example. I was driving home from the Elite Eight, Kentucky had beaten Notre Dame, and it was a Sunday morning. I was driving from Cleveland back to Kentucky, and I turned on Sirius Satellite Radio, and the College Sports Channel, they were hosting a show, and they were saying something, I don't remember what it was, and it annoyed me so much, I was like, I want to be on there saying my opinion. And so I actually called in randomly. And I thought, this is why I don't listen, because I'm not talking and it annoys me that I'm not talking.
So did you come on? Did you go on?
Yeah, they had me on and they said who I was and they were like, thanks for calling in. And I was like, you know, you guys are wrong about this. And then I was like, what am I doing? I'm an idiot. I'm sitting here calling in to these shows telling them they're wrong. But so that's part of it. But I think the thing that annoys me about sports radio is the, like, no shades of gray for people. Like, everybody's either great or terrible, and there's no middle ground. And when hosts do that, stuff is, you know, a coach makes a decision. It might be like a 60-40 decision, and they pick the wrong one, but that doesn't mean they're an idiot. You know, it means they could have done two things, and they picked the wrong one. And I think the notion of, like, not acknowledging that everybody makes mistakes and sort of, like, that stuff kind of gets to me a little bit. But the reality is, it's hard for me to answer because I don't really listen to a lot, except I listen to Tony Kornheiser, and that's about it.
So I can go ahead and scratch off the question I was going to ask, who you think is great at sports radio. So it's Kornheiser.
I think Tony Kornheiser is great. I mean, I think he is great. If he didn't have television to distract him, he would still have one of the most popular shows in the country. But TV distracts him, and so he does this local show in Washington. I think he's great. He's not my cup of tea, but I think Colin Cowherd's probably great. But he's not my cup of tea. I don't really like it, but I know I can see why he resonates.
Well, why is that? Is there a common thread between Colin and Kornheiser
Yeah, I don't think he takes himself seriously. And I think here's what he's really good at. He hasn't forgotten what it means to be a fan. Okay. He is not a journalist. So he's not living the world where the only thing that matters is, okay, I get to have, you know, Derek Jeter on. I'm going to try to look really cool because Derek Jeter's on. He remembers what it's like to be a fan. So he understands rivalry. I mean, Zach, he was the first person to talk about college football nationally.
Right.
Right now, yeah. Almost everybody does. But he was talking about college football nationally way before anybody
that's
else
right.
was. And because he understood there's this huge fan base that's not being served. So I think he's good. I like Dan Patrick some, Jim Rome some. What I don't like is boring. And I think a lot of the other stuff that's kind of nationally popular is somewhat boring. But I appreciate the skill of somebody like Cal. Or just like I can't stand Rush Limbaugh, but I appreciate his skill. I can see why he's good, even if he's not my cup of tea.
Do you have a book? I ask a lot of the guests, do you have a book that you would recommend that has anything to do with sports and or sports radio? It doesn't have to be sports radio specific, but I'm always interested in people's book recommendations.
Interesting. A book. I don't know that I can think of one right off the top of my head, but I will say this. I think the biggest thing you can do to be good is take 5 or 6 websites, okay, that are not just your local whatever, that you go to sort of find out what's going on in the world outside of sports. Because, A, you'll be amazed at how much is going on outside of sports. But, B, it helps you think of topics that can really go with people. You know what my highest, most tweets I've ever gotten on any show I've ever done, Zach, was I did a bracket on the best fast food restaurant. And people were insane about it. Like they were voting and they couldn't have been more into it. And I got the idea by just looking at a website that had a bracket for the best something or other. And I thought, oh, okay, that works. So I actually think reading is really important, especially with what's going on during around the world. But as far as like a book, I'd have to think about that, but one doesn't come to mind.
And the other one I usually ask before we let you go is like a resource. And what I usually use as an example is, now I know you are a little more old fashioned, at least last time I worked with you, you were the guy that had a notebook and it was one page and you just had bullet points of, I want to make sure I talk about this, and this today. But I use Evernote to basically do the same thing. And I'm writing bullet points, just stuff that if I don't get it down on Twitter or I don't get it down on Evernote, my brain is so bad that I'll forget it in a second. Do you have anything as a resource? It doesn't have to be note-taking related.
Yeah, I use a book. I mean, I use a notebook like the same I did. I carry it around, not everywhere, but almost everywhere I go. I carry it around so that if something strikes my mind, I immediately write it down. And sometimes if you're not careful, you look at it the next morning and go, what did I mean?
Yeah, what did that mean? I did that this morning.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's – I carry a little book around all the time because, really, you can be anywhere and see something that comes up and go, you know what, that's what I want to talk about. And also – think about it like this. Let's say you're having conversations with your friends or with your wife or whoever. If you sit there and talk about something with somebody and they're really interested and engaged, well, your radio listeners will be too, right? So it's like something comes on television and it makes everybody in the room have an opinion. Well, heck, I mean, the radio listener's going to have an opinion too. And it's amazing how many times I've been with like my buddies and we argue about something and I think, well, that's what we need to argue about on the radio. And so I try to do that as much as possible.
Well, buddy, this has been fun. KentuckySportsRadio.com, for those of you unfamiliar with Matt's work, KentuckySportsRadio.com. He's got a slew of writers there that are constantly posting stuff that is both Kentucky and outside of Kentucky related, really. A lot of pop culture stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Let's see, at KY Sports Radio on Twitter. Where else can they find you? Pump something, plug something.
Well, we have a Kentucky Sports Radio app that's actually, you can listen to our show on there if anybody ever wants to. And the Twitter account's probably the best way to follow me with the KY Sports Radio. I tend to do very similar stuff from the radio on the website. And then you know, it's, besides that, hopefully at some point someone will let me talk about something that's not Calipari in a public forum, and maybe somebody can see me in.
I enjoyed it, buddy. Thanks for doing this. Say hi to BBN for me here.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, buddy.
That is Matt Jones on the podcast About Sports Radio. All right, so here's what I hope you'll do for me. I want to get your thoughts on something Matt said. So here's what we're going to do. What is your biggest pet peeve about other sports radio hosts? Matt Jones gave some of his. It's your turn to give yours. Go to aboutsportsradio.com/Matt Jones and answer the question, what is your biggest pet peeve about sports radio hosts? Go to the bottom of the page there and leave your comment. Also, there is more bonus audio that you didn't hear on this podcast from Matt that can be found on that show notes page. Go to aboutsportsradio.com/Matt Jones and just click on bonus audio. And thank you so much to my good friend Matt Jones for being a part of the podcast again. And thanks to you so much for listening. I'm Zach McCright. We'll talk to you again next time on the podcast About Sports Radio. Cheers.
This has been the podcast About Sports Radio with Zach McBride. Visit us online at aboutsportsradio.com